First Corinthians chapter 2. Receive. First Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2, yes, right. First Corinthians chapter 2. Start with verse 1. I believe this is one of the best messages. Close the door. That I think I may say this again about another passage because I'm excited about so much in the Bible, but I think this is one of the best sections out of the letters that Paul wrote. You know, you got through the Corinthians and the Romans and Ephesians and all different ones. All of these were letters from Paul to these churches in the area. I said it last week, so I'll say it again. Remember, they're letters to church people, the people in the church already. They're letters to churches, not to sinners, but to churches, giving them instructions on how to be the church, giving them instructions on what's expected of them, what do you build, everything you teach, or everything that you walk by on. He's just giving instructions on what the church should do, how it should function. And just always remember, too, the chapters are just sectioned off for us to be able to have definition of where they are, but it's always one long letter. So you can imagine the Corinthians is a pretty long letter, so he was doing a lot of writing. But I think this chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think this is one of the best sections out of the letters that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, but I think even to all the churches, because there's just a lot of power in this one chapter. So we're pretty much going to read the whole chapter. Starting on verse 1, it says, "And our brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Read that. Verse 2, ready, read. "So when I came, I didn't come with excellency of speech." You see that in verse 1? "All wisdom." Now he's talking about, and he's going to say it again in a little while, he's talking about man's wisdom. He's talking about the regular wisdom that's already there. "I didn't come with excellency of speech, all wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." What he's saying is, I wasn't trying to show you that I know anything else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I didn't want you to think that I knew a lot of scriptures. And Paul was well-versed in the law. People miscredit Paul, and they don't know who Paul really was. They don't know who Saul was before he was Paul. He was a chief in the law. He knew the law up and down. So what he was doing was killing Christians because they were overturning what he thought was the foundation of the church as they knew it. When you were preaching Jesus Christ at the time, you're kind of going against the grain and going against what the law had said, per se. You know, you hear Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it." But yet at that time, they didn't know. As far as he was concerned, when you preach Jesus Christ, him crucified, you preach that you got a right to talk to the Father on your own, you were destroying the fiber of what the church was about. So Saul thought. So Saul was well-versed in the law. Saul knew the law. Saul, Paul, he'll go back and forth with you with the law. He was the best church guy. He knew all the scriptures, all right? But he says, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." And we're going to take our time and read through this chapter because we've all read this chapter before, but I think we read it because we read it fast. And we want to get to the hot points that we think are the hot points in the chapter, but sometimes we miss what's really going on. "I determined not to know anything." Listen to this statement. I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. When they say save, it means except. So I don't want you to think that I know anything else. I don't want you to think that I'm deep. I don't want you to think that I'm super smart. I don't want you to think that I got all this power and all this. No. All I really want you to know is that I know Jesus Christ and him crucified. And this is where the power of the church is. Knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified. Everybody say, knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is where the power is in the church. It's not in your, it is not in your membership building. It is not in your building fund. It is not in all the things that you think make up the church. It is not in your program that you, no. The power is in Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you can know Jesus Christ, listen to it, He didn't say just know Jesus Christ. He said know Jesus Christ and him crucified. If I can know this, then I know what I need to be able to function fully as a church. Now, he talked to the church now. I ain't come here trying to make you think that I was a good preacher. That mindset, that frame of mind has run rampant in the church today. Everybody want to say deep words, want to say big words that can't nobody define. They want to say, everybody wants a revelation that nobody else had already, right? Everybody wants a message, and you get yourself in trouble over there too sometimes. Everybody wants a message that's deeper than the other man's message. Well, ain't no message deeper than Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the deepest as it gets. What goes deeper than Jesus Christ and him crucified? I don't want to know anything. I don't want you to think that I know anything else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Verse 4, you read. Ready to read. Stop. Read again. One more time. What's that mean? What's he saying? What is Paul saying right there? Speech is preaching, was inspired by God. Come on. Come on, what does that mean to you? Come on. This is what we do. This is part of meditation. This is what we do. We get to read these scriptures and read them. And we'll preach them sometimes. We don't know what he's talking about. What does that mean to you? Let me tell you something about being a minister, first of all. See, the beautiful thing about being a minister is that you have an individual gifting and talent that God has given you. He's made you in an individual way so that you can convey the message in a special way that you have to convey it. Now, you don't need to get up here and start talking like me because I'm me. I don't need two of me. All right, we make two of me, we'll be wasting. All right? It needs you. So now, when you're looking at these scriptures and you're looking at them, you got to find out, what are the scriptures saying to me? Because the scriptures got to get down in me and then mingle with what God has on the specialty that God has made on the inside of me has to mingle in there and then come back out with the power. But you got to know what it means to you. That's why I'm asking right now. So what does this mean to you? I ain't got no points on it. I ain't got no nothing in my notes. Well, this is really what it means. No, there's not a right or wrong answer. No, what does this mean to you? Come on, man. I can deduce to that fact. All right. I can take that. Come on. I like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Come on. Come on, listen. There's a million ways to say it, so I'm waiting till everybody kind of answer me. It could have been part of it. Come on, I'm listening. Come on, that might be a revelation in there. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Doesn't that sound like church nowadays? Think about it for a minute. Think about your favorite whoever you watch on TV, or the ones. God bless the brother and everybody else. But doesn't it sound like that sometimes? I thought we were trying to convince people. I thought we were trying to entice people into believing what they're supposed to believe. I thought wisdom was a good thing, right? Get wisdom, right? Come on. This is meditation now. Now we think about this scripture, all right? But he said, but my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of what it says? Man's wisdom. So now what it's saying is, and we're going to get to the next part in a second, and we read these scriptures fast and we jump. We jump to demonstrate the spirit. No. What's he saying in that first part? Then when I'm preaching and when I'm speaking, it is not with enticing words because my words sound good or because I can make them rhyme a little bit or because I can make you feel good when I'm talking. Anybody can do that. The poets can do that. People out there doing concerts can do that. I mean, what's the power in that? All man's wisdom, all right? So it's not just it's not just enticing words or what another man has said that I'm saying. Brother Higgins said this, and I'll never forget it, and an apostle always says this. That's Brother Higgins, why are you different? And y'all might have heard him say this before. He said, why are you different? Why is your ministry packed so much power? Why they got other people preaching the same scriptures you're preaching, but why is it that your ministry packs power and packs anointing and others don't? He said, it's simple. He said, I'm a voice, they're an echo. Y'all hear that? He said, I'm a voice, they're an echo. All right, so what's the difference between those two? One is just repeating. One doesn't even exist if the other one doesn't say anything. Listen to this. Listen, the echo is not the voice. You might hear me say, hey, and it'll go across the room. But that was going across the room is not what I said. You see what I'm saying? It's a replica of what I said, but it's not the exact word that I said. You get what I'm saying? So now voice versus echo. So now enticing words of man's wisdom. All right. Now I'm not saying you don't get wisdom from any men. Huh? But that wisdom is only man's wisdom if you don't mingle it with the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. If you don't take, you can write notes all day long. You can write notes in this class. You can write notes in your next class. You can write notes in your last class. You can write notes in apostle class tomorrow night. But if you do not take this word and let it mingle, get this word on the inside of you and let it mingle with the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, then it'll never be nothing but man's wisdom to you. So now we'll never get to the next part, which says what? My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but what? What? In demonstration of the spirit and of power. So my speech is not, I don't want to know anything. I don't want you to think I know anything except Jesus Christ, him crucified. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. So I'm not really talking no kind of way to make you feel no kind of way. I don't want you to even pick that part up. It's not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it's in the demonstration of the spirit and of power and of. Now, once again, whenever I hear and of or I see those things, there's a reason that they put that in there. If you said, he could have said, well, my speaking, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in a demonstration of the spirit. That would have been deep, wouldn't it? No, but he said, in a demonstration of the spirit and of power. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. But in the power of God. Read that. Read that scripture. Verse 5. Read it. Ready? Read. That's your faith. So now when we're talking about being the church, when we're talking about even ministering as a church, we're talking about being ministers, right? The point is for the people's faith to not stand in my wisdom. Come on, ministers. Y'all ministers, huh? Come on, ministers, think about this for a minute. The point is not for their faith to stand in my wisdom. I love everything that's going on in the supernatural, the glory. I heard an apostle talking the other day, and he was saying, man, we were sitting down, and he was like, man, he's talking about a demonstration that's been happening. He said, listen, he said, I'm going to let y'all know now. He said, all them demonstrations, we started seeing them. He said, you saw how excited I got? He said, because I was excited. I was just as excited as you. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like that before. He said, I couldn't have planned to do that. He said, that's the Lord doing it. He said, Lord's showing me something new that I've never seen before. He's been ministering years, 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 and God just showing him what the glory really is, right? And what this does is eliminates your superstardom. We've had too much of that. It eliminates you being in man's wisdom. So now, you remember the story about the seven sons of Sceva? Huh, y'all know the story about that? And you go read it, they went in there and they went to try to cast out devils. They tried to cast them out in Jesus' name and in Paul's name, right? Right? Well, that sounds good to go cast them out in Jesus' name, huh? The devil said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? and whooped their tail out of that house. Because there was no demonstration of the spirit and the power. Because now they're trying to, listen. They're trying to talk about Jesus, like we said last time, and not be him. You see that? They're trying to walk about him, but not walk like him. So now they're trying to do something in man's wisdom. But they didn't let it intermingle with the Holy Ghost on the inside of them. So now I can give you a deep revelation tonight. But if you don't take it and let it mingle on the inside of you, meditate the thing and let it mingle on the inside of you, and let the Holy Spirit talk to you about that particular thing, then it's not yours, and it's no demonstration of spirit and power in there for you. It's only man's wisdom. It's only what Montrell said. Are y'all with that? It's only what Montrell said. There's no you. If you do not, the Holy Spirit is amazing. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank Jesus for leaving the Holy Ghost for us. You say, God is in all truth and show us things that we do not know. The power of the Holy Ghost makes things become alive in our lives. It makes the Word of God become alive. It's the Spirit that quickens it. The flesh profited nothing. We know a lot of scriptures, but how many are alive on the inside? So now it becomes my wisdom, but if you don't let the Holy Spirit breathe on it, and let it become alive to you, then you'll be going, quote what I said, you're going to preach my message, and there'll be no power in there because I'm not the one preaching. Do y'all get that? That's your faith right now, me ministering in this class, it's that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of me, huh? But in the power of God. This is where your faith should stand. Your faith should not stand anywhere else but in the power of God. You cannot go talk to the enemy or go talk to your circumstances and tell them what I said. You can't even go tell them what Jesus said. Uh-oh. Well, you know, Jesus said, you know, well, Jesus said this, and we thought we were good, right? Haven't we been doing that? We quote telling what Jesus said, huh? We quote, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We go quote all the red words, right? But we quote them, and we thought we was winning. Well, why is not happening? Why we quote all his words, all them red words, and no, nothing happened? You, if I'm lying, I'm flying. You sitting here right with me in the same world with me right now, been quoting them same red words, and nothing been manifested. Am I lying? No, I ain't lying. I'm telling the truth, ain't I? So why? Because they haven't become yours. They still his. They're powerful. They're powerful. They're packed with powerful. Search the scriptures. For in them, John 5:39. Search the scriptures. Search them. Praise God. I want you to search them. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have life, but they testify of me. But you won't come to me. Do you understand what's going on? This is church now. This is church. This church unusual. But you won't come to me. So now we throwing all these words out, what Pastor Phillips told me. He told us last Sunday, and you can lay it out. So now you going back trying to tell your problems what he told you. No. What Pastor Phillips want is for you to get that word on the inside of you, and it becomes your word. Apostle wrote this book called Speaking the Word of God with the Voice of Jesus. I don't know if you ain't ever read it. You need to go read it. It's a powerful book talking about the rhema word. It's when the word the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. You ready? Are y'all ready for this? Sharper than a two-edged sword. What happens with the word of God, and this is what's supposed to happen. The word of God, you ever been in an anointing meeting before? In an anointing meeting? And the word of God and the revelation start coming. You hear something that you never heard before? Have you ever been there before? Well, you heard something you never heard before. Praise God for that. Thank God. But it don't end right. But see, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Why is it a two-edged sword? So there's such thing as a one-edged sword? Yeah. Why are you talking about the word of God as a two-edged sword? Because what happens is, I never forget Apostle Priest, that word of God, the rhema word, the live word of God, what it's supposed to do is when it meets you, it's supposed to cut you. But hold on, not just cut you and then you bleed. No, it's supposed to cut down on the inside of you and cut through everything that you think is what you think and cut through everything that you think that you believe and get down to the truth of the matter, cut down to the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And what happens is when that word gets in there and it cuts, there's one edge cutting down in there, it mingles in there with the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And so the next time it cuts out of you, watch this, the next time it comes out of your mouth, it's cutting with the other edge of the sword. And now listen to this, listen. Why you hear a word from an anointed man of God like apostle and the word hits you so hard? Because it's cutting you. But why can't it cut you from his mouth? Because it's already cut him already. It had already cut down on the inside of him and mingled with the Spirit of God on the inside of him. And when it came out, it was piercing to your spirit. And the same process should go on. The same process should go on from you to another, even if it ain't over the pulpit. Do y'all understand that? But if you don't let it, all right, what if you didn't say nothing? What if you let it cut down on you, but you never said nothing? You never say the word again. You never let it mingle. You don't meditate this word day and night. You don't pray in the Holy Ghost about this word. You don't ask the Holy Spirit what he's saying about this word. Then it never becomes yours, and it lies dormant on the inside of you. There's greatness. Greater is he that is on the side of you than he that is in the world. There's greatness on the inside of there. Are y'all with me? But it's still man's wisdom. If you don't let it intermingle with the Spirit of God, the only person that can do that is the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Now you're telling stories. Sometimes we preach that way. We tell good stories about what Jesus did. That's what our witnessing is. That's what mostly our witnessing is. Modern day witnessing is telling a good story about what Jesus did. You know, he walked the earth and he died on the cross for us. You know what I'm saying? He went down to hell and suffered and he rose again. That's a great story. That's just like the movies. That's just like your Disney fairy tale, ain't it? Huh? Batman get beat up in the movies and almost be dead, and then he come back like he done resurrected. Come on. All your superheroes be based off stories about Jesus. They do that junk all day long. What's the difference? What's the difference between your story and their story? It's real. How they know? As far as they're concerned, Jesus is Superman. As far as they're concerned, they got the superheroes on the wall, and it's, you know, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, and Jesus. If there's no demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that's what it is. You're just trying to entice them. Do you ever feel like when you're witnessing somebody, you're trying to entice them to Jesus? Come on, y'all don't want to tell me the truth. You feel like you're trying to work them in. You're trying to say little trigger words, you know what I'm saying, to work them in. No, you're trying to entice them. No. Demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Demonstration of the Spirit and the power. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It says the Word of God, talking about Jesus now, it said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know, the original teaching, it said, the original Hebrew, it says the teachings of God were made flesh and dwelt among us. That means what God wanted us to learn was made in the flesh in Jesus Christ, embodied in Jesus' body, and it dwelt among us and lived and showed us how it's supposed to go. But it was not with word only. This is Paul talking about right now. This is what he means when he said, I don't want to know nothing. I don't want you to think I know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because here's what Jesus Christ and him crucified is. Demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's Jesus Christ and him crucified. So now you go read it. Go read about Jesus. You always see Jesus. Jesus taught a lot. I read this morning. It was in prayer this morning. I read Matthew chapter 5 and then verse 6 and then into verse 7. And, you know, we got to learn how to not be selective with our scripture. You know, you like Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But Jesus had a whole message starting from chapter 5 about that. The whole context was in there. In that same message, he was talking about love your enemies. In that same message, that's the one he was talking about. If they sue you for your coat and they get it from you, give them your cloak too. It's the same message though. It's pretty much the same breath. It wasn't a Monday meeting and a Tuesday meeting. No, it's the same message in the mountains. All right. So read those things, but I'm reading it. And every time Jesus taught a lot, but Jesus taught more by example than he did by word. It was powerful. It is powerful that he can demonstrate who God is in him what God's will is, and then teach about it, and then demonstrate it, and then teach about it, and then demonstrate. I saw this happen today, man. I told my mother, and I was sitting down. I went home today, and I was talking to my dad, nothing deep. We were just talking. His phone came in. I brought him a new phone. I ain't buy him a new phone. He bought a new phone, but the phone came in. I brought it to his house, so we just talking. I went inside, and I was talking to my mother about some things, and I was in the kitchen, and I heard somebody say Montreal. I heard somebody yell Montreal, but I didn't know where it came from. So, first place I ran was to the front porch because I thought it was him calling me. He didn't call me. It was my mother calling me in the other room, which I found out later. But as soon as I walked out the door, he started talking to me. And he started telling me about a scenario where it was a certain situation where some things had happened and it didn't go the way that it was supposed to go. For me not to really go into full detail of what it was, things didn't go like it was supposed to go. There's some honor that should have been given that wasn't given, right? So technically, he was somewhat done wrong in the situation. But in the situation, the Holy Spirit gave him wisdom. And he approached the situation first before there could be any dissension or any disagreement. And what the Holy Spirit told him to do was so clear. And I saw Jesus in the flesh today. I saw live. I'm looking at a apostle and I'm seeing a live Jesus in the flesh right there. Now, I love messages. I love the Sunday morning messages. And I love Wednesday night, you know what I'm saying? I love class tomorrow. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it all. It takes so much from it. But the teaching, thank God for the teaching. But then the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. The demonstration of the Spirit behind the word that you, the actual, what is a demonstration? Huh? Yeah. I'm showing you. I'm demonstrating to you. I'm showing you how this works. To see if I could really go into the story, but it was such a love move where otherwise many of us wouldn't have been lovable. We still would have been talking about them, or we still would have had our guard up because they did us wrong. But then I remember the scripture, and I was preaching this last week, and I got a chance to preach, and it says, we only love God because he first loved us. You know the scripture? 1 John 4. We don't love God because he first loved us. It is not because we love God. That's what scripture said. But because he first loved us. The power is in that. It's not because of what we doing. You thought it's because of your prayer, huh? Mm-mm. You thought it's because you studied a long time? Mm-mm. You ever studied a long time and it didn't happen? Uh-huh, okay, all right. I'm just asking. See, we got to talk about these things so we can get to the, I was in prayer this morning. I said, the Lord answered my prayer call. Listen, I'm in prayer this morning. I went to 6 o'clock prayer this morning. It was early for me. Thank you, Jesus. But I was in and I'm praying. And so I looked around. And he told me two things. Number one, this is a good message for Church Unusual, too. He rebuked me on one. Kind of rebuked me. He kind of reprimanded me on one, but he showed me something another. So I'm looking at everybody praying. I'm walking around. And I'm not a, you know, I'm a, when I, I'm a, my mind, I guess it works a little different. I don't know what you call that, but it works. Like I look at stuff a little different. Like I just don't want to take the common, you know, like the chip blue, but I want to see like why is it blue? You know what I'm saying? What's in the behind there? Why is the chip? I'm looking in the behind and trying to find out why the reason is blue. Like why did they make, like my mind is always real like this. So even in prayer, I'm doing this, and I'm praying, and I get to a certain point where I'm praying. I know we pray from 6 to 7. So I get to a certain point where I'm praying. And I ain't going to lie, it takes a little while to get in. It's almost like warming up. It takes a little while to get in. But once you get to praying, I'm not trying to fall out of anything. I mean, if the Lord wants me to fall out, I'll fall out. But whatever he wants at the time, but I'm just praying. Once I get in and get a good flow, then the Holy Spirit starts talking. This is about prayer. The Holy Spirit starts talking. He may not need you to go from 6 to 7 for him to talk to you. But when he starts talking, you better start praying and listen. When he starts talking, stop talking. Did y'all hear that? When he starts talking, stop talking. And hear what he's saying. About 6:25, I looked at my phone because I was reading some scripture out there. About 6:25, the Holy Spirit started talking to me. And I looked, and an apostle was in the back. He was in the back corner under the balcony. Everybody was praying. And I was just looking, I was just observing, and I'm praying. The Holy Spirit said, why is it? He said, these people come out and pray every week. He said they love me. He said they come out. He said, but why is it that it's working for him on a different level than it is for them? And I said, you almost like, well, why, Lord? But I get to talking. So you say, well, because you're a preacher? No, it ain't got nothing to do with being a preacher. It has nothing to do with being a preacher. I know so many busted up preachers, so it ain't nothing to do with being a preacher. Well, all right, so maybe God do have favorites. Maybe God, I'm talking to God now. Maybe he got favorites. But then you know the scripture pop up. God is no respecter of person, right? But I said, well, no, but maybe he do. Maybe God does. Maybe you do have some favors. I'm talking to him. But the scripture pop up. He's not talking to me in the word. He said, I'm no respect of person. I'm respect of faith. So I said, whoa. Well, what is it? He said, there's something. He said, watch this. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will put you on a trail, and he won't tell you the exact answer right then. He just wants you to keep paying attention during the day. Listen to me. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will ask you a question, I'll put something before you, but you won't get the answer if you don't keep paying attention throughout the day. See, this thing is not about your hour-long devotion in the morning, but it's about your 24-hour devotion all day long. You didn't know that, right? You didn't know that no time is your own. None of that time belongs to you. All of it is his. He should be able to speak to you whenever he wants to speak to you at any moment, any time. When I set myself up for just that one little time in the morning, and thank God for the devotional time. When I set my time for that one little time in the morning, then what happens the rest of the day? My life is devoted. Are y'all listening to me? Are you listening to me? So sometimes the Holy Spirit will set you up, but you won't get it till later on in the day. Now, this is 6 o'clock in the morning. So it's 6:30 in the morning, and he set me up. So my mind reeling all day long, and I think I'm smart sometimes. So don't you too. So you think you're smart, so you get all the answers. You know, you get the quote in the scripture back to the Lord, like he ain't the one who wrote them, right? And you get to do all your different stuff you're doing. And he said, but it's something. He said, there's something. He said, there's something that he's, look at the Holy Spirit. He said, there's something that he said, find out what he's doing that other people ain't doing. Find out what it is that he's tapped into that the other ones ain't tapped into. Sometimes it's a small little thing that you make an adjustment, things will pop loose for you. Sometimes it's a small little thing that you make it, and all the clarity that you need for everything you got going on in your life will come open, but the small little thing you got to make an adjustment in. One little small thing. And I said, all right, Lord. I said, I'm trying to think of the thing. You know, there's several different things. We start talking about, well, maybe he pray a little longer. But some people pray all day. Or maybe he, some, I just, all right, Holy Ghost, you know. Sometimes you got to leave him that way. When you ready to show me, you show me. I can't, this is the Spirit, you do what the Spirit wills, you show me. So this is 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. So this next thing that I'll tell you about that he did, I saw Jesus in the flesh. This is 11:30, 12 o'clock, maybe lunchtime, 11:30, 12 o'clock. And he activated his thing. He said, the Spirit of the Lord told me to do it just like this. Boom, 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 boom. And it was such a love move. It was such a genuine love move with no motive or nothing in there. And it's just a genuine love move. Even though I know it should be another way. The Holy Spirit, the Bible said, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And I saw it. The Holy Ghost just, and he made the love move. And I walked inside and he said, that's it right there. He said, that's the thing right there. He said, that's what's different about him with the other ones. He said, majority of people wouldn't have been able to do that. Majority of people wouldn't have been able to overcome what they thought was righteous, the right thing to do, honor, you know. You just honor me. No. Honor is not the most powerful thing in the will of God. We major in the mind and mind in the major. You heard that statement before? We major in the mind and mind in the major. We major in the things that, and I'm not saying, now when I say minor, I'm not saying that it doesn't matter, but it's minor. It's minor compared to the major. That's why it's major and minor. Major and minor skills, I know what you're laughing about. So we mind in the major and major in the minor, and we focus on all of, we make the biggest deal about the things that ain't the biggest deal sometimes. You want to walk in faith. The just shall live by faith. Right? The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, right? You want to live by faith, but the Bible says faith was worked by. So you can't get to faith without. In the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, you know what that power is, huh? What's stronger than that? I was talking to my little niece today, and I'm talking, ooh, I love you. And I made a statement, I said, I love you so much, I love you a lot. Then the Holy Spirit talked to me, and I said, how you love somebody a lot? Like, a lot is already inside of love. A lot, I love you so much. No, so much more is already on. It's defined in L-O-V-E. It's defined in love, because love is God and God is love. It's already in there. You can't add nothing to that or take nothing away. We minor these words. We make them minor. We make love minor because we put it in our own mundane societal mind frame of what it is, and we really don't know that it's God. 1 John 4 says, God is love. So now, the power that worketh in you is the love of God. Demonstration of the Spirit and power. Now, we get churchy, so we start thinking, just think about the first thing that comes to your mind, the demonstration of the Spirit and the power. You think about, demonstrations, boy, something flying through the air, and praise the Lord for all that stuff. That stuff will happen, but those things are only effects of the power. Are y'all with me? Demonstration of the Spirit. Well, a demonstration of what Spirit? Who? Say it so they can hear you. I thought you said something else before. You said the Spirit. I thought you said the Spirit of God. Same thing. Spirit of love. Spirit of God. Spirit of love. Spirit of God. Spirit. So demonstrate. Because what Spirit are we demonstrating from? A demonstration of the Spirit. Well, who is this Spirit? And the power. So now, it's the faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. And the power. Demonstration of the Spirit and the power. The demonstration of love. And that's where your power at. If you ain't got that, what you need power for? Faith was working by love. Your anointing works by love. Listen to me. Your anointing works by love. If you ain't walking in love, you're not anointed. Forget that. Forget that. If you're not walking in love, you're not anointed. If it was possible for you to be anointed without love, you'll kill somebody. We go back to Old Testament days. Ground opening up, swallowing people, killing. You know, the more prophets in the Old Testament, you to murder people. You ain't know that, huh? You tell them, slay them. Demonstration of Spirit and power. I ain't get nowhere where I wanted to get to. This week, I want you to take some time to read this every day, the chapter 2. But you slow down. Slow down and read it. All right? Stop trying to conquer the scripture. You know what I'm saying? And have a conversation with the scripture. Don't stop trying to read it real quick so I can get on with my day. No. Stop and see what he's saying. Stop and see what he's saying. My faith should not stand just in the wisdom of men. You name your preacher. Your faith can't just stand in what they said. Your faith got to stand in the power of God. The power of God. Amen.